You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Vanessa and Gallant, Sean Mapes with you. You can hear us on the ESPN app. You can watch us on Twitch and, of course, 97.5 and 92.5 coming at you on a Thursday. Some news coming out about Deshaun Watson yesterday. The NFL has appealed, as expected, that six-game suggestion that judge and neutral arbitrator Sue L. Robinson put out. Not a shock, guys. This is kind of what we figured would happen. But it's official. Roger Goodell can either designate somebody or make the decision himself.
It sounds like he is going to designate somebody. But what's funny is that he's basically making the decision himself. He's just having somebody else make the decision that he's making.
It feels like a circuitous situation, right?
Right.
Instead of him making the decision, the CBA and the collective, you know, the Players Association, all of that decided that somebody else would make a suggestion and then eventually Goodell would make the decision. It's just a longer, like, I guess I don't understand completely what the point was.
Well, let me try to explain it. You know, as a condo owner, as a cake eater who went to two schools named Thayer Academy and Shorecrest Preparatory School, it's like if you have your butler go out to the I'm trying to think of a fancy name for kitchen. You have them go to your office and pick up the phone, and you have your butler make an order for you over the phone.
What is this accent?
I don't know.
Sean, do we know what this accent is?
It's essentially what I'm trying to say is, I mean, it's like having a butler do something for you.
Yeah, I guess. But yeah. And it also could protect his brand, and you know, it's somebody else.
Roger Goodell's brand can be salvaged at this point.
But we'll see what happens. Again, six games. We all know that was the suggestion from Sue L. Robinson, but she also found in her findings that Deshaun Watson did commit sexual assault. Again, this isn't anything legal. He was obviously not indicted by two separate grand juries.
And she said sexual assault.
She said it was very, like, harshly worded. And I'm not saying Deshaun doesn't deserve it, but it was her findings were that it was egregious.
I know that.
She used the word. I mean, it was.
I guess I missed the sexual assault part of said investigation. And maybe it was misconduct. Honestly, off the top of my head, I don't know. But whatever the case, you're right. Like, it definitely gave, I think, Roger Goodell plenty of ammunition to say, yeah, not so fast. We're not going to give you a six-game suspension.
Adam Schefter had more about this on ESPN. Here's Schefty.
The NFL had until 9 a.m. on Thursday to make a decision about whether or not to appeal the justice's decision, considering that it would undermine her in her very first decision. And that is exactly what the league decided. It decided to take a stand against the judge's decision to stand up for what it believes is right. And the judge wrote that the NFL proved that Deshaun Watson was guilty of sexual assault, that he posed a threat to the woman around him, and that he compromised the integrity of the National Football League. And six games is not enough in the NFL eyes.
So Schefter said assault. That's where I got assault
gotcha.
From.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
So that's Adam Schefter with the latest. This could get really interesting because if Deshaun Watson's camp decides to sue the NFL, if the NFL tries to go for an indefinite suspension, or will they say, you know what, let's bump it from 6 to 8? There's a lot of different possibilities here. They're very nuanced. Judy Batista actually brought up this morning, there's a scenario if he were to file a restraining order or something where it could be delayed and then he could play and then serve the suspension later. There's a lot.
Yeah, and that's also something the NFL doesn't want on their hands. So I'm not going to lie. I have no idea how it's all going to play out because of the legal situation that you mentioned. But he's going to get the full season. He's going to get a fine. I thought it was really interesting to note that Charles Robinson reported that from what he's hearing, one of the big sticking points with the original best case proposal that the NFL showed to the Players Association and Watson was a 12-game suspension so that Watson would not play here at NRG Stadium against the Houston Texans. Like, that, more than anything, is something that he wants to not happen. And honestly, I totally understand that from the league's perspective, because the entire conversation of that game, you think they're not going to bring that up? You know, that will be discussed all game long.
The broadcasters, the pregame and postgame.
You can't hide from it. I mean, it would be the biggest elephant in the room. And look, they will tell probably the play-by-play team on that broadcast to say, hey, don't touch on it. And it might be like the F or the E team for CBS, given that the Texans suck. But
yeah, it'd be like one of those afternoon CBS games.
But at the same time, there is enough interest potentially in that game, and say the Texans have a decent record at that point in the year, which, again, I doubt. That is a game that you cannot avoid the conversation. He played for the Texans. He was drafted by the Texans. You're just going to ignore that for a whole game, and you're going to say that Watson, yeah, he just wanted out of town. You're not going to talk about the whole other thing that was involved with Deshaun Watson?
We do have a call. Joe would like to talk about Deshaun Watson. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. So I understand what he would do if he tried to appeal or the restraining order you were talking about to play this season, because isn't the whole point of setting up the $1 million deal? It's to not lose money. So I say let him hang himself and go ahead to play 10 games, and then NFL drop the bomb on him and make him miss 10 games next season so that he loses a whole bunch of money. I mean, it doesn't make any sense why he would try and
delay it. Yeah.
The financial situation and then end up kicking himself in the butt. Thanks, guys.
I get what you're saying, Joe, but the NFL is not going to operate that way, because that would look a little malicious, and the NFL Players Association actually might have a case against it if they were to appeal it, if like they were, I guess, sort of waiting. It's a little too complicated for that.
Yeah, the NFL
can't
specifically be going after his money.
Right.
That's when the NFL gets in trouble.
But Jeff Darlington is reporting the NFLPA is preparing to sue the NFL in federal court.
Yeah.
So this could be very layered.
But I don't understand what their case would be. This is the order of the CBA. Is the NFL, just like the NFLPA, have the right to appeal the neutral arbiter's decision. The NFLPA decided not to, and the NFL decided to do it. I don't understand what their case could possibly
right.
be.
It would be entirely, what is the point of Sue Robinson then? Like, oh, you brought this in. But again, they agreed upon Goodell being able to rule it.
That is the contract between the players and the league.
That's true. It just doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't.
Goodell's doing it anyway. It's like, we're going to have a woman make a suggestion. So, that's the only step that's been added.
They could theoretically win, but it would be like winning, you know, when the USFL sued the NFL, $1. Right.
Yeah.
Or you would
win. Like, I don't even know if you could possibly win and then have basically Sue L. Robinson just taken out of the CBA. And now you're back to just Goodell makes the first and final call.
Right. And I'm curious as to what the actual the appeal suspension ruling will be. But, to something you said a little bit ago, Vanessa, and we were talking about the money side of things, and to Joe's call too, from what I've read through multiple prominent NFL talking heads and reporters, is that they're also going to fine Watson a significant amount of money. And I think it's in the eight-figure range, like low eight figures. Like we're talking $10+ million.
Which, I mean, look, he got a huge contract, and it was the most guaranteed money ever. But no, I mean, that's the fact that there wasn't a fine suggested by Sue L. Robinson was strange to me. Was that strange to you guys? I don't know. I guess maybe she just wanted to go with the games and thought, well, whatever. But I thought for sure there would be a significant fine. Honestly, more so because he violated COVID protocols than even the alleged assault. I mean, the NFL took COVID so seriously. I mean, these guys were staying inside.
For a time they did. And then they were like, this is stupid.
But you get what I mean. The majority of these things happened during the Rona.
Yeah.
So I thought the NFL would fine him maybe solely based on that.
But I don't know. If the ruling was based off of that now, there's a lot of people that would be like, seriously, like that's what you're going
to
use.
A can of worms.
Like, when it first started, had they made their ruling back then, okay, yeah, maybe that's a little bit more of a touchy label to put on somebody. Sorry for the touchy label. Jeez.
Yeah, I get it.
The word touchy, didn't mean to say that.
You need to massage the language you use.
Stop. Oh, my God. Where is that going?
Hello. Is ADD. ADD kicked in.
Jesus.
We will see what the NFL does. We will see what the answer. I am interested also to see who Roger Goodell appoints as the person, because Roger Goodell could do it himself, but he also has a couple of people like the Jeff Pasch lawyer guy, and then there's another guy whose name is slipping my mind that did Deflategate and made some of those decisions.
Ted Wells, who should go to jail.
So we will see.
Ted Wells, defamed an American hero.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant.
More
leave
probable
that one right
than
there.
Not. What a load of crap.
We're going to talk a little bit about the Astros. A good win last night, plus Paul's Yankees and Mariners watch. You don't want to miss this. That's coming up.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
That's more like it. The Astros beat the Red Sox 6-1. They avoid their first sweep. It would have been their first home sweep of the season. Of course, they were swept in Oakland. Not able to get it done the first two nights. The bats were not able to get going, but last night was fun. Trey Mancini hit that homer. There was some Kyle Tucker action, Yordan. So it was Altuve had, I think, four hits. Great night.
And as a show with actual influence on nicknames, we potentially could set the narrative for what Trey Mancini's nickname will be, what Christian Vasquez's nickname will be. And we did get some texts earlier today, 713-780-3776. We want these to keep coming. One of them, Dreamy Mancini? Steamy Mancini?
See, I can't say that on air.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I like that, but I feel like people would be like, oh, she thinks he's dreamy.
Yeah, that makes sense. Trey the Menace Mancini?
Yeah.
Nah, I'm not really into that one. So those are a couple that we got.
I'm into Trey Mancini Linguini, but I think to Sean's point, it needs to be set up. You'd have to say, like, cooking and that, like, he cooked a home run. I don't know. How
Mancini
would you...
Mancini the Meanie.
That's a spicy meatball by Mancini the Meanie.
Mancini, what was the other one?
Mancini Linguini Fettuccini.
Mancini, yeah, it's just all food.
It's just all food. We're hungry Mancini. On the show, if you can't tell.
He did well last night. It was great to see him, yesterday afternoon. It was great to see him go yard and already the Crawford boxes with him hitting in a ballpark that actually has a favorable left field for him. We've already seen that this works. He is now on pace for 57 home runs with the Astros because he hit one home run, and I think there's
hashtag
56
math.
Games left.
Yeah. Wouldn't have been a home run in Camden Yards, but that doesn't matter anymore. This is a guy that, and he said in his post-game interview with Julia Morales, he's like, this already feels like a good fit. It already feels like family. The fans have really taken a liking to me. So I don't know. Maybe he could be an Astro long term, but it was cool to see him do work. And it was great to see another quality start for Jose Urquidy and the bats supporting him, obviously.
Jose Urquidy was awesome. I mean, he had a no-hitter through five. I know some people get mad about jinxes. I don't believe in jinxes. I don't.
Are you that guy that tweets it out?
I like to tweet it out because people get so mad about it. But I never know if they're actually mad or if it's just a... Everyone has agreed to participate in a bit where they're like, yeah, you jinxed the no-hitter. You
I think
should
some
die
people
in a fire.
Really get mad.
They do.
I think some people really get mad.
But I think some people just like to pretend to be mad because it's fun to get mad at the person who jinxed it. I feel like it's, I don't know that it's authentic anger. I think it's faux outrage.
And the side, I guess, anti-jinx, like they're calling people out for jinxing it. They're going to be right more often than not because throwing a no-hitter is super hard and it's easier to carry it through six innings and someone tweets about it and you give up a hit in the seventh and then they go, see, Paul Gallant jinxing your Jose
So
Urquidy.
The math is on the side of the people that get mad about jinxes.
Yes, because...
Thank you, Professor Mace.
Even if you don't say anything, you're probably going to give up a hit.
But you could be first on reporting that the no-hitter or perfect game is taking place.
Hashtag breaking.
Isn't that more important?
I mean, you should just tweet it every time someone strikes out to start a game.
Right.
Like, Justin Verlander on pace for a no-hitter.
I like that local broadcasters find a way around it. I think it's fun.
Because
Jeff Blum and Todd Callis will find a way to do it. No, but you got to participate in...
No, beat the hammer.
The baseball traditions.
Beat it to death.
See, I think there's a small difference between actually being in the booth and being Mark Berman or McTaggart tweeting about it. I think in the booth...
Big difference.
I think in the booth, there is a little bit of like... Because, I mean, we talk about it with Blum all the time where he kind of does take like a player's point of view of the game. And in the dugout, they're not talking about the no-hitter. Now, that could also be stupid, and I kind of agree with it kind of being dumb, not talking about it. But at least that is the superstition.
But that superstition is the word, and baseball, more than any other sport, is into superstition, well, fair to say?
Yes, because it's stuck in the past. So.
Yankees, Mariners.
Ooh, they played each other.
Your mistress is getting it on.
Oh, my mistress is doing exactly what I like, which is to assault other people.
Oh, yes. A lot of assault in this show today.
Yeah, listen, I'm sorry. I like it when my side piece, who I treat like the Joker treats Harley Quinn, acts like Harley Quinn and murders people that I don't like. It's fun for me.
Well, let's do a little special edition Yankees Watch segment.
Oh, wait, it's Yankees Watch first. Okay, cool.
Yankees Watch.
Yankees!
2022.
We actually have a highlight for this. Gerrit Cole in the first inning against the Seattle Mariners. It did not go so well. Here is the Mariners broadcast.
There you go. High drive, right field, Gerrit Cole! Kelnick with a home run off of Gerrit Cole. A beautiful moment. It is 6-0, everybody. 6-0 Mariners. 3 home runs. What a parade. Suarez, Santana, and Kelnick.
Not a beautiful call, but Gerrit Cole gave up 3 home runs to the Seattle Mariners, including to Jared Kelnick, who has been pretty awful in his debut with the Mariners. This guy was a super prospect. They got their asses kicked yesterday by the Yankees, and it's always good to see, and I love watching Gerrit Cole struggle. Does it make me a small person? Yes. I don't care. I am who I am. I've accepted it.
The broadcaster sounded genuinely joyful that happened.
He couldn't wait to bury Gerrit Cole. Literally, he could not wait it because he did not say who hit the home
run. Right. I'm like, Gerrit Cole hit a home run? Oh, no, Gerrit Cole's pitching.
In his defense, Jared Kelnick and Gerrit Cole, I can see how you get that a little bit mixed up.
Jared Garrett. Yeah.
Jared Garrett, Cole Kelnick. But when he goes, it's a beautiful sight to see, that's a little bit like, all right.
It's a bit much. Yeah.
He's trying to make everyone forget that he, you know, butchered the name of Jared Kelnick's first home run in like a year.
Unprofessional, question mark? I don't know, but it's genuine. He didn't try to hide it.
No, he didn't. That is Yankees Watch 2022. Magic number is 2 for the Astros, 2 games behind the Yankees in the AL.
But there is another team.
Oh, yeah.
There is the other team that Paul follows. There is the other team that, to Paul's credit,
they looked so hot yesterday.
Early in the season, said that we should keep an eye on them. And sure enough, when they have Julio in the lineup, they're pretty damn good.
Yeah, that's true. So it's time for a little something we call Mariners Watch.
Mariners Watch.
A radio show host in Seattle called Paul Gallant.
2022. August 4th. Luis Castillo went into the Bronx and beat up more people than the average Yankee fan in right field beats a significant other with 8 strikeouts in 6 2/3 innings. What? Why are you laughing? That happens in New York. It's the Bronx. They're tough people. Jared Kelnick back. He got a home run in the first inning. We also saw a home run from Eugenio Suarez. And
Eugenio.
Carlos Santana. Man, it was a hot one. Smooth. The Mariners took 2 or 3 from the Yankees for the first time since 2016. You have to wonder, is this team different? Do they care? What happens to them? Do they care if they live or die? I guess we'll have to see the rest of the way.
That was good.
I'll say this segment is eating itself.
That might have been your best Mariners watch yet.
Look, that was an impressive win by them. They take 2 or 3 against New York. I don't want to play them in the playoffs. I don't want the Astros to play them. I don't think it'll be good. I really don't.
It was a fun game.
It'll be a tough series.
Yeah. Those games, like when they're good at baseball, it's good. Like at least with the Mariners, I don't feel a hate for the Mariners.
I think a lot of people will and should by the end of the year.
Really?
Yeah, I think
do you think they become in the category of like the Yankees and the Dodgers?
No, but I think they will. I mean, you haven't had a division rival in forever. And, I mean, clearly they talk a lot of trash, Mariners fans, about the Astros. I'm sort of neutral, like, in terms of the back and forth. I want both sides to be friends. But I know eventually I'm going to have to pick a side. I know I'm probably going to pick the Astros in that side that
I have
to
pick. No,
I don't
think you need to. I think you need to just rock the double shirt.
If there's a playoff series, I will have to pick a side, and I will pick a side. So don't worry about that. I will pick the right side on that front.
But which side will you pick?
It's really about what side will I pick after the series is done.
Oh, yeah, because if the Mariners win...
I mean, I'll pick the Astros.
You're Mr. Seattle.
If the Mariners win, I'll pick
Mr. Grunge over here. If the Astros win, what happens if the Red Sox get good again? Is your divorce from them permanent?
Oh, yeah, that's totally done.
That's totally,
totally done. Yeah, I get, like, when I watch Astros-Red Sox, I have zero feelings of nostalgia about the Red Sox.
Really?
None. No, it's different.
I have never heard a Boston fan say those
things. I'm sorry. Those teams in the early 2000s were special, you know, and you're never going to get them again. The teams you have right now with the Astros, you're never going to get these again. I mean, I know there's been some good years before in the 80s, and of course, around the same time as those Red Sox, too, here with Clemens and Bagwell and Biggio and stuff. But, it's different. There's no David Ortiz. There's no Manny Ramirez. There's no
every
no
now
Ma,
and then you
Pedro.
Hear somebody get a couple get divorced, and you're like, "Are you okay?" And they're both like, "Yeah, we're actually totally fine. We're good. We're friends, but no hard feelings,
nice.
But no emotions."
Mom, Dad.
every time we walk down the Boston Red Sox divorce route, it always turns into...
I do forget that divorce was a very big thing in your life. but
do
yeah.
I have an inferiority complex because of my parents?
You know, like Batman.
Right.
Except for his parents were murdered. Yeah. And my parents just murdered my innocence.
Their relationship was murdered.
Coming up on Vanessa and Glock.
Love you guys!
Tua and tampering, plus our world-famous, very knowledgeable gambling segment. But Paul shall tell you about his friends at PIN.
The Passive Investor Network, a full-service real estate investment firm. These guys give you a 5-year plan so that you and yours can make real money through real estate. You sit down with a portfolio manager. You give them your long-term goals, and they're going to walk you through how you get to those long-term goals. And even better, they do all the work for you with real estate investment. They find the parts of town and the houses to invest in. They do the construction on these houses. They've got 20-plus years of experience in the game. Once the construction's done, they find the tenants for you, and they do the property management. You own the house. They do the hard work and take the headache out of all of that investment process so you can make money. Passively get it, Passive Investor Network, to achieve those long-term goals. Take it all out of your hands. Invest in something where you got a real strong voice and set of hands in your corner. Visit their website today at passiveinvestor.net and tell them ESPN 97.5 sent you to schedule a free consultation with one of those portfolio managers, or you can join them on their famous bus tour and see all of this in action. Passiveinvestor.net. It's the Passive Investor Network.
This is ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
So while we wait to see what will happen with Deshaun Watson, we do know what is happening with the Miami Dolphins. A 6-game suspension for the owner, a $1.5, I believe, million fine for that billionaire, $500,000 for another owner. And then, they are where they are. They do not get one of their first-round draft picks due to tampering with Sean Payton and Paul's Lord and Savior, Tom Brady. But how does Tua Tagovailoa feel? Here's the Dolphins quarterback on all of these tampering allegations.
Was that in 2019?
2019 and then 2021.
I remember I came in 2020, so whatever happened in 2019, I can't even speak on that. So I was here 2020, and I'm still here, and I'm blessed to be here. You know, if it has to do with support from the team, I think the team's all in with me and all the guys that we have now.
Poor Tua. Yeah. Poor Tua. This is a guy that's just trying to be positive, kind of talk himself through it. But yeah, I mean, I think there's an element of these guys, some of them, that understand that it's a business. Now, you also have the Baker Mayfields of the NFL that take it extremely personally. And in some ways, he should have. But I don't know that Tua seemed that bothered by it.
No, he didn't. Look, and I'll say this, too, just about Tua. What are you supposed to say when you're hearing all of this stuff? I don't know how you handle it because, I mean, you could handle it like we've seen Derek Carr do it where you come off as sensitive. Understandably so.
Right.
But people are going to criticize you more for it. You want to just almost ignore it while the question's being directly asked of you and hope that it just dies down and you just hope that 2 weeks pass by and that everyone will forget about the story and move on to the next one, which is hopefully going to be about how Tua looks good in the preseason game.
The Dolphins, too, I think it does help that there's a completely new, like, management, quote-unquote, team. So, like, Mike McDaniel had nothing to do with this. Their offensive coordinator had nothing to do with this. There's been so many new – there's so much, like, new blood in that building that there shouldn't be any awkwardness between Tua and the current coaching staff. Now, ownership is a different story.
Right, and I've said this before. I think Stephen Ross is one of the most underratedly horrible owners in the NFL. I don't think people talk about him nearly enough. Snyder's always the centerpiece, but there have been so many stories about Stephen Ross and just negative press with him over the last couple of years, including with this story where he is being suspended for tampering and kind of, but not in name, for tanking too. So it must suck to realize that's your boss and that even if your coach likes you, it doesn't matter because the general manager, Chris Greer, who's been with Stephen Ross like this whole time, that's the guy that's really determining whether or not you stay. Like, Mike McDaniel has zero say here unless the Dolphins go like 13-4
this year. And who wouldn't try to get Tom Brady? I mean, if you're Tua, aren't you like, okay, I mean, he's the greatest quarterback of all time.
If Brady's available, 100%.
Like, but if I get married and Giselle becomes available, like my husband.
Well, you're still mad about
Giselle.
It though, right?
You're irritated, but understandable.
I don't know. No, you should be mad about it. You should be mad
about
it in a situation
like that.
Are we
actually talking about Giselle?
Both scenarios.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess I would be mad if my husband
I mean, Tua should be pissed about it. He should be, and I hope that motivates him. I do feel a bit of empathy for him here.
The proverbial chip on the shoulder.
He's thrown in a terrible place, and I mean, this year, too. I mean, there's tons of pressure on him, and you got this news coming out because your owner's a bozo. Like, that sucks.
Sean is our Tua stan, our Tua-non conspirator. What were your thoughts on this and Tua's tone of voice, body language, and did you buy that he wasn't bothered?
I think he's not bothered now by it because it, like you said, like this all happened in 2019 is when it started. It happened again in 2021 and this year, and it's almost, you know, it's not news to him. He knows that. They're trying to replace Brian Flores. He's in a better position because at least the coach likes him now.
Right.
So even like on his day to day, like, okay, management was trying to replace me and the coach didn't like me. Now only management doesn't like me, but at least day to day.
Step in the right direction.
Yeah. I have a guy who isn't trying to bench me and I also now have Tyreek Hill.
Shall we gamble, gentlemen? It's time for our world famous gambling segment here on Vanessa and Gallant.
Ooh. We were gambling and woman.
There we go.
Little in case you missed it, Paul thought that Allman Brothers song was Lord, I Was Born a Gambling Man. We found that out last week.
I did think that.
So shout out to Paul for the audio drop.
We've done it for 2 weeks in a row. You can vote yes or no if you want us to keep it. I think it's very endearing. Shows like the charming, cute side of Paul.
Where did you get the gambling, the audio?
I got a British robot to say it online.
Yeah, that it's very much a like TikTok voice.
It's incredibly specific.
Right.
Would you rather plus $5,200 on Tua to win MVP, or would you bet $14,000 on Money Mills to win MVP?
I can't believe the odds for Tua.
And this is via BUSR.
BUSR.com/ESPN, which you should be going if you enjoy the gambling. That's the odds there. I can't believe Tua's that high up, honestly.
Is it because of Tyreek?
Probably.
It's probably because of the addition of Tyreek Hill.
I guess that there's a world where the Dolphins could do well this season, but I don't know. I think Tyreek Hill works with a Patrick Mahomes, but with Tua, I don't know. I mean, they're going to have a huge workload for him, and I do think that there is a thing as trying to give the ball to one receiver too much. In Kansas City, they also had Travis Kelce, too, who they could feed to on a regular basis, so you kind of like ease his workload. But what, are you going to be giving the ball to Hill like 19 times a game?
They're going to be doubling up on him, yeah.
Right. And look, he's great at creating space in the open field, and I have no doubt that it will work out pretty well from a statistics standpoint for the first year. But is the rest of that Dolphins team, is that good enough? I don't know. You know, they've been kind of this like hodgepodge team over the last couple of years, and Tua's shown nothing. I know we got Tua on here with, you know, the bun behind the glass, but like,
not to be confused with my bun.
No, the bun brigade, it's here because Vanessa's got a bun underneath her prison mic headband.
The Dementors. Sean Mapes, are you taking Tua plus 5,200 or Money Mills 14,000?
Of course I'm taking Tua.
Yeah.
You're nuts. Those are terrible odds too. Comparatively.
I mean, at least there's a chance that the Dolphins like make the playoffs.
Right.
There's no chance.
You never know. Not gonna give breakout year for Davis Mills?
You could put down $5 on Davis Mills and win tons of money if he pulls a Kurt Warner.
It's a great point.
You can win tons of money.
Kurt Warner had Torrey Holt and Isaac Bruce.
Yeah.
The greatest, otherwise known as the greatest show on turf.
Davis Mills has Brandon Cooks.
A underrated show on turf.
And Nico Collins.
Yeah, yeah.
And Chris Conley.
And Damian Pierce.
And
he's Brevin
the Jordan.
Hey, of all this.
Exactly.
Can you tell Bill O'Brien rubbed up on the guy who's listing men on the roster?
Mm-hmm. CJ Fedorowicz is there. Oh, no.
No, that's the other. That,
Ryan you Griffin.
Must have, hey, Paul, you must have confused him with Ryan Griffin. That's like the other time that you screwed up. Classic
I
Bill
think
O'Brien.
The other thing is that the Mike McDaniel frenzy. So when Mike McDaniel was named head coach, like, everybody discovered that he was very funny. He went on Pat McAfee. He was funny at the Combine.
I'm quirky.
Right.
I wear glasses.
I think that will work. And to his credit, he has enough self-awareness to where he's been like, yeah, the minute I start losing, if that happens, you guys won't find me funny anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he'll become like a clown coach. He'll become Ben McAdoo.
Great reference.
It's funny. His hair is goofy and whatever. And then once he starts losing, look at this bozo.
Right.
I know.
Yeah, then it gets into critiquing his size. Like, somehow when he became a coach, people were discussing what percentage of black he was. It was incredibly random.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
The answer's 3/8.
He is biracial. He is biracial.
He is 3/8, by the way.
That's interesting. Also interesting, why does Mike McDaniel wear a wife beater underneath his shirt that is so damn visible through his shirt?
Good point. I'm a big wife beater fan.
Not
the men that beat wives, but the tank top.
No, that's New York Yankee fans. Hi-yo! Just kidding. Allegedly. Hey, I don't get why people wear undershirts under their shirt.
So, says the man wearing a undershirt.
It's a good point.
That jersey. It is a basketball jersey.
It's a jersey.
I actually thought that's why you were saying it.
No, but well.
I thought you were setting me up quite nicely.
No, I'm sort of like, if you're here, I guess if you sweat a lot, like that would be the reason you wear a shirt underneath the button down.
Yeah.
But I feel like it would make you hotter and less comfortable.
Yeah, I was never an undershirt guy.
You've never been an undershirt guy.
I mean, I've worn undershirts before, but I don't anymore.
I've told you guys about my phase where for like a year and a half I would only wear wife beaters around like second grade. So there's like all of this, like all of our home videos and all of these pictures of me as a young child in Terre Haute, Indiana, which in my defense in Terre Haute was not that strange.
Yeah, the mayor was wearing a wife.
Correct.
Beater.
Yeah. If I really wanted to develop properly, I would have gotten a butterfly tramp stamp by now. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we're going to discuss, of course, Russell Westbrook, one of our favorite people, plus our world famous garbage time segment. But first, let me tell you about the biggest pro football contest in Vegas. It's back, $12 million guaranteed with two ways to win and no rake. The Circa Sports Millions with quarterly payouts, 100% paybacks. So for that contest, you pick five NFL picks against the spread each week. You get 1 point for each correct selection and half a point for a push. $1 million for the first prize winner and over $3.5 million in cash prizes for entries 2 through 100. You also have Circus Survivors. Y'all know how these leagues work. I love Survivor Leagues. You choose a different winner each week straight up without the spread. Once a team is chosen, of course, you cannot use them for the rest of the season, so choose wisely. Only one winner in this contest, but it's an additional $1 million bonus for going undefeated. Do you have a trip planned for Vegas? Go to the Circa Casino and Resort while you're there to enter this contest. You just enter in Vegas and then play from anywhere. Visit circasports.com for details.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I always liked that song until I found out it was about stalking.
But this is the Diddy version, though.
Oh, it is. It's the remix.
Yeah, because you can hear it. You can hear in the background.
The reimagined. That's right. Yeah, Sting's original, The Police, the original song is about stalking. Kind of ruins it.
Better version of it, if you've watched the TV show The Sopranos, I want to say this is at the beginning of either season 2 or season 3. There's a sting operation going on, and they mix this song with a song from, I forget the movie, but the tune goes, and they mix them together, and it's this long sequence where, spoiler alert for those who haven't watched The Sopranos 20 years after the fact, where
I haven't.
They're trying to sneak into Tony's house to bug said house.
Did he die in real life?
The Tony Soprano?
Yeah. Or is he still alive?
The actor passed away, James Gandolfini.
That's right. Okay.
The character, it is up for debate, and if we're going to get into these,
that's one of the worst I've heard series finales ever, right?
It made a lot more sense the second time through. The problem is, in the moment, everyone thought that their cable went out, and I remember watching it because I didn't watch The Sopranos, but I watched the finale with my stepdad, who's a massive fan, and I remember we were like, wait, did the cable go out? And since there wasn't Twitter or the internet to the degree that it is now, there weren't enough people to figure out whether or not the cable went out, and everyone thought their cable went out the next day.
So nobody could, like, tweet, yeah.
Because the screen went to black for, like, I think 5 to 10 seconds, and then all of a sudden they showed, like, produced by David Chase, etc.
Mm.
Now, I'm of the belief, and I believe it actually has been confirmed. Spoiler alert, sorry.
Sure.
Do you want me to keep going?
No, keep going.
I'll stop. Okay.
I don't care. Keep going.
I'm of the belief that Tony was shot in the back of the head by the guy wearing the members only jacket and that the show just ends like that. I believe that not just because of it fading to black and because Tony had talked about earlier in that season when you just die. I think it was actually Bobby Baklava who said it. When you die, all of a sudden it just fades to black and that's it.
Oh.
There is a little bit of foreshadowing there, but also in that episode too, and this is my hot take on it, I think it is very clear that Tony Sirico's character, Pauly Walnuts, betrayed Tony Soprano. I think it is very clear.
But it hasn't been made. That's like a hot take. It's not.
That's
an
my
actual
own interpretation.
Yeah, up for interpretation.
I think, like, definitively, with the way that the last time Pauly looks at Tony Soprano, it's very clear that Pauly feels guilty about what he has just done and that he definitely stabbed him in the back.
There's your Sopranos history
there
of the
go.
Day, thanks to me referencing
Love
the police.
That show.
Yeah, I actually have wanted to watch it for a while. Okay, Lakers head coach Darvin Ham, according to The Athletic, will have more power to bench Russell Westbrook down the stretch of games, according to league sources. That could eventually extend to removing Westbrook from the starting lineup.
Hang on a second. Please repeat that. Just repeat it for the class. This is where coaching in the NBA is in 2022.
Lakers head coach Darvin Ham will have more power to bench Westbrook, as a coach should, down the stretch of games, according to league sources.
Westbrook isn't even close to what he used to be. And the head coach, who sounds like a generic, like, this guy's not even real. This guy's the head coach of the Lakers, by the way, the glorious Lakers. He maybe has the power to bench Russell Westbrook.
I forgot he was a person.
At the end of a game. I honestly had no idea,
yeah,
Vanessa,
like
that they had
Ham?
Hired a guy. Darvin Ham.
I knew they fired Frank Vogel.
I knew that, too. Darvin Ham.
Former Pacers head coach. Yeah.
No offense to Darvin Ham. I mean, that's sort of like when Clay Helton was the head coach at USC. Your team that plays sports in LA and you're getting these boring-ass people to run things, it's because you're just doing what LeBron says. And LeBron's going to leave you for probably Cleveland in the
absolutely.
Near future.
Absolutely. All right, let's get to our world-famous segment we call Garbage Time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage Time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
Ah! I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
So Amir Garrett, who is now with the Kansas City Royals, was not happy with the fan during the Royals' 9-2 loss to the Chicago White Sox. He heard from a heckling fan, and he responded by throwing his drink at the fan. Obviously, because of the age we live in, it was recorded. It went viral.
How much, if you were to sue the player, do you think you could get?
Oh, I mean,
I don't think they should, by the way. I'm not endorsing
but
it.
But he probably will, and baseball will probably want Amir Garrett to settle it. Probably get a cool $50,000.
You think
say?
$50,000 for soda?
Yeah.
I don't know about that. Maybe $1,000.
I was thinking, yeah, like $1,000 or $2,000.
But don't you think MLB would just want, with negotiating, you aim high, right? So you actually sue him for like $200,000, and then MLB says, we'll give you $50,000.
But he's wearing like a dark gray shirt, and if a drink gets spilled on you and you're wearing a dark gray shirt, like, it's not going to stain the shirt. Like, if he was wearing like a silk shirt or something like that, I feel like he would have a little bit.
Or a jersey.
More white jersey. Room. Yeah, a white jersey like I'm wearing right now.
I cover.
Hard to get stains out of this thing, by the way.
Amir was in Cincinnati and was, a pretty big part of that. Do you guys remember the Pirates Reds brawl?
I was going to say the only time I've ever heard of Amir Garrett is him getting in fights.
Is when he fights, yeah. He's a feisty fella, as he was in Cincinnati.
By the way, there is a small child behind the guy who gets the brunt of it. So
the child got the brunt of the drink.
There's a lot. Yeah, it looks like some ice cubes.
Whoa. Maybe we're talking like $10,000 now.
It depends on what the fan was saying to him. Mm. If you're talking about somebody's mom, somebody's wife, if there's a slur involved, throw the drink. If it's just heckling, why throw the drink?
I would be honestly after the fact. I would think it's pretty funny that a ball player threw ice at me, but I'm a sick person.
Yeah.
And, like, that's the reward that would be going through my head. Like, ha-ha, I got under his skin. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very Bob Knight throw chair-ish.
You can't kill someone with ice, though. But a chair?
Yeah.
Could you kill someone with a chair?
You can't. You probably could kill somebody with a chair.
Not sure at the distance that Bob Knight was throwing it from.
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive.
Just across the court. A lot of power in that throw.
Maybe take out a knee.
According to CBS News, the Earth is spinning faster than it ever has been and had its shortest day ever. If it continues, we may have to institute what's called a negative leap second. Some engineers say that would wreak havoc on IT systems. This is a Paul Gallant tweet. So if you know Paul, Paul always jumps to the worst possible conclusion in a matter of nanoseconds and then ends by saying, but nothing really matters and we're all going to die anyway.
Yes.
Do you work
but now
for
we'll
CBS
die quicker.
News? Do you work for CBS News and did you tweet this?
I did not tweet this. How do you figure that out? I guess do you determine it based off of like the amount of sunlight or something like that? I am curious as to how you actually can measure the rotational speed of the Earth in a accurate manner.
I think what you
the
do
stars?
Yeah, you have a spot that you aim at, and then since you're moving, you can track the speed in which the.
I still don't understand leap years, let alone a leap second.
Yeah.
Like the leap year thing, I'll never get it. Leap year people, do they have birthdays? Do they not? I don't get it.
It's global warming causing the Earth to spin faster. What is happening? What is going on? I'll tell you what's going on. We don't bleeping know.
See, I was thinking we need to get a crew maybe of some oil drillers and figure this out. Send them up, slow down the Earth, maybe get...
It's the lizard people underneath the surface of the Earth. We got to talk to them.
Yeah. Would Aria defend you, your sweet cat?
She would defend herself. Why do you ask?
Because there is a story from AP News that I find fascinating. A Mississippi man says that his cat prevented a robbery. He is a 20-pound cat, bandit, lives with her retired owner,
must be a main
Fred.
Coon.
Two people tried to break in the house last week. She raced into the bedroom, jumped on the bed, pulled the comforter off of him, and clawed at his arms until he knew something was wrong. A true guard cat.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Aria would not do that. My cat, Aria, though, once I was dating somebody, this person, unprompted, decided to bring over her massive German Shepherd / Husky puppy.
She didn't ask you?
No. This was the last time we ever hung out. I wasn't thrilled with this. So she brought him into the house, and I was a little nervous because she had told me that the last time the dog had been in the park, it picked up a chihuahua and was carrying the chihuahua around by its head throughout the park. And I was like, why did you tell me this? Because that was all I was thinking about while the dog was over. To my cat's credit, my cat, who hides from just about every loud noise you will ever hear, decided to get like
right, just sit right in front of the dog, ears perked back, pissed off, and every time the dog came near, she snapped at it, almost assaulting it. And the dog, like, did not know what to make of her. And I didn't know what to make of my cat either. I was very proud of her.
Aria defended Daddy.
She
did. Aria's got that dog in her.
Aria's got that dog in her. Mm. So maybe Aria would be a good golf guard cat.
No, I don't think so. No.
New scientists, new discoveries. According to the Discovery Channel, scientists have discovered a species of sharks that can walk.
Yeah. Discovery Channel, classic clickbait. Trying to get people to watch Shark Week, which is lame.
Is it also, sorry, not to interrupt you. Aren't there like three Shark Weeks a year?
I think there's just one.
I see Shark Week all the time.
Maybe it's Shark Month. You're right. My thing with Shark Week, and call me a terrible person, but I mean, I kind of want to see, you know, a shark attack of a person. Is that bad? Yes, it is. So I'd rather watch Jaws than I would watch Shark Week. Jaws is an objectively awesome movie. This is Shark Week trying to get attention. It's like this stupid-looking like shark that's maybe a foot long, and it's like walking on land. It's very subjective as to how much it walks. It like crawls around like an idiot. It doesn't stand on its hind legs.
But the clickbait works because now I want to see the video.
Yeah.
Are you a shark guy, Sean?
What does that even mean?
Like, do you like sharks?
Not
Are you
really.
A Shark Week guy?
I used to be obsessed with sharks.
Yeah, I mean, I like the, you know, watching them, you know, flip up seals and jump out of the water stuff, but I don't know.
If you have any videos of alligator attacks or people being attacked by sharks, send them to at Gallant Says.
Oh, and at Sean A. Mabe.
And at Sean A. Mabe.
I will watch any animal fight you send.
That's the show for a Thursday. Coming up next, you got the Killer Bees. Joel Blank, Jeremy Branham will be with you from 12 to 3. Have a great day, everybody.
Peace!
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.